I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Craig. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Much appreciate everybody listening, however you're doing it, all over D.C. and the DMV. Flagship 106.7. Richmond audience is checking us out for the next 3 hours. We welcome them aboard AM 910, 105.1 FM. And, of course, all over the country, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app. NFL news the last several days. We thought, Danny, you and I even said, all right, we finally got past all of the blockbuster dealing.
It's over.
And then it wasn't. Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus does an incredible job breaking the league down. Enjoy his show with one of our buddies we have on quite a bit, Sam Monson. And I wanted to have him on to talk about all things Commanders this offseason. And to hop around the National Football League, he joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Steve, you're on in D.C. with Grant and Danny. Thanks for a few minutes. How you been?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing very well. Let's just start with the Tyreek Hill trade. How aggressively did that timetable play out where the Chiefs were going to trade him and then he was a Miami Dolphin? What do you make of that?
Yeah, it sounds like there was definitely something at play, for the last couple of weeks, that the Dolphins seemed like they were prepping for that. But yeah, it really came to a head. I mean, I think Tyreek certainly saw the money that Christian Kirk got, the money that Devontae Adams got. And I think the Chiefs maybe had, had an idea that, hey, look, Tyreek's going to want high-end money. And they had to just evaluate their situation in Kansas City, with Mahomes and with some of the other players that they've already invested a lot of money in the coming years. It was going to be tough to keep Tyreek around. Plus, you've got all these other holes on the roster. And I think for the Chiefs, they just determined, look, we're going to try to get a whole bunch of players and reshape this roster and take advantage of what Tyreek is as an asset now from a trade standpoint.
Is this going to be a new trend, Steve, where marquee wide receivers, big-time players that put up ridiculous fantasy numbers, change teams now and get signed to mega contracts? Or is it just a special case with two guys that really are Hall of Fame caliber talents?
I think there might be some kind of trend here. The thing about the NFL now is that I think a lot of these trades are at least happening for the right players. With Jamal Adams being traded for a couple first rounders a couple of years ago, that was just a tough move for the Seahawks, right? I mean, but like when you're going to make a big move, at least, do it for a quarterback or do it for, I think wide receiver is the second most important position as far as moving the needle. When you're talking about high-end players, guys like Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill. So I think there is something to this. The NFL realizing that in a pass-first league, when you can just dominate on third down like Devontae Adams does or dictate coverage like Tyreek Hill does, they're not exactly quarterback value, but they're pretty close. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit around the league with some of these big trades.
Going around the NFL with Steve Palazzolo is with us on Grant and Danny. You can check out his work for PFF, and he's on Twitter at PFF_Steve. You mentioned the top of the market receivers being game changers. What about that next tier down? We've got a guy here in D.C. in Terry McLaurin who's going to be paid before free agency, very likely, on an extension in this exploding market. Just in his draft class, you've got DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel. How does Washington handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the receivers, I would say McLaurin and the guys that you mentioned probably are a step down from Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill, who are the very best in the league. But the McLaurins of the world are extremely valuable. And I think you especially once you start building with a few more playmakers around him. I know they tried last year with Curtis Samuel and De'Ami Brown, and you know, I still think there's probably a little bit more work to do on the perimeter there in Washington. But I lock it up McLaurin, I think, makes a lot of sense, and building around him, because when you talk about those true number ones, you're talking about guys that can win down the field, every level of the field, they get open, the simple stuff, but also the difficult stuff, the spectacular. And I think we've seen that from McLaurin, despite, the inconsistent quarterback play that we've seen over the last couple of years. So I love McLaurin a lot. I think, and for Carson Wentz to really succeed, I always look at Wentz and say, maybe 2017, his near MVP season was a pipe dream. But if you're going to try to get back to that point for Carson Wentz, I think you have to do it on the perimeter. He's always had a good offensive line, but Wentz's production has fluctuated essentially based off what his playmakers look like. And that's the nature of a mid-tier NFL quarterback. So I think you have to do everything you can to really win on the outside and in the middle of the field with a slew of playmakers, and McLaurin certainly a great start there.
Take quarterback out of it, Steve, for the moment, because just kind of talking about skill position players got me thinking about this. Where does Washington rank in the NFC East? Just everybody else but quarterback in terms of talent.
Oh, I mean, I think the Cowboys are still near the top. I think, I think Washington and Philadelphia are probably close. It's a tough one because the Commanders now, I'm still getting used to it.
I know.
The Commanders are... I mean, on paper, the defense looked really good last year, but there was this regression that was somewhat likely to be had just because of who they had to play. But when you look at the defensive talent, there's so much on that side of the ball for Washington. So I think they're probably similar to Philadelphia, just a good all-around roster. I still think Dallas, has that high-end team, even though they've lost some pieces. And then the Giants coming in fourth. So I'd say, we'll say tied for second with Philadelphia at this point.
You had mentioned Wentz. What was your thought on the trade? And you've seen the market since materialize with what the free agent signed for and what Matt Ryan was traded for. And how do you feel about it now if it's changed?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if the other options were that great. Even a Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan at this point in his career probably had to go to a team that plays in a dome like Indianapolis. And, Matt Ryan, I think, is a better quarterback than Wentz. Wentz, you could still – I think you could still win with him. I just always go back to, first off, as far as the trade, you give up two threes in maybe a second, if things pan out. It's not egregious as far as the compensation goes. But with Wentz, you have to go, I think, all out. Again, at receiver and tight end, when you look at the best offenses in the NFL, whether it's the Bucs, whether it was what the Chiefs had or the Bills or the Cowboys, they have a slew of playmakers where defenses have to figure out how to cover them. Doesn't mean it works every week. It's the easiest way to win is to have guys that are difficult to cover, and it makes life easier for your quarterback. And when I look at Wentz's career, he's always had a good offensive line. He's had a top 10 offensive line all but 2 years of his career. And the only thing that changed from a production standpoint is the year that he had a really good Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffery, tight ends to throw to. So I think that to maximize the Carson Wentz investment, I think that's where the Commanders have to focus their resources. And it sounds like fantasy football. Like, hey, just get receivers and tight ends. But again, I don't think Carson Wentz is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And, so to maximize his value, I think you have to, just be really good around him.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, with us here on G&D. What about the Scott Turner, Carson Wentz fit?
Yeah, I mean, I think most coordinators, when you look at most coordinators, I think can adjust to what they have. So I think it's tough to say on paper. Turner likes to do this and Wentz likes to do that. I think that always kind of remains to be seen. There's not a whole lot of coordinators, play callers around the NFL now that are just so set in their ways that they don't fit with their quarterbacks or whatever it might be. So again, it's like kind of TBD. We'll see what happens there. But I think it'll be fine, right? I mean, again, I think to maximize Wentz, it's not just the playmakers, but I think he can make plays down the field, and you might have to live with a little bit of volatility and not just try to make him into a game manager. I think Wentz can make those plays down the field. So that would be the only thing, as I'd say, unleash him a little bit, embrace some of the volatility, let him try to make some plays down the field. So that's why Wentz went number two overall. Cannon for an arm, can throw the seam, can throw the deep out, can create chunk plays. And I think you just need the offense to allow him to do that.
Steve, in Cleveland today, Deshaun Watson's introduced to the media in a press conference, and the Browns are getting grilled. He's getting grilled. I'm curious, though, about the rest of that quarterback room. Are they going to be able to trade Baker Mayfield, or are they going to end up cutting him? And who's going to step forward if they can move him? And I'd ask the same thing about Jimmy Garoppolo. I guess instead of being cut, it would just be staying there, and maybe they start him over Lance. But I feel like that would look awful for them, both that they botched Garoppolo, and if Trey Lance can't supplant Jimmy Garoppolo in his second year after all you traded up, that doesn't speak well either. Maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse here.
Yeah, I think with, you know, in Cleveland situation, it's a difficult one because it seems like Baker Mayfield's value is just gone right now at the moment. So I don't know if they're going to get anything for him at this point. He might just have to be released. I mean, if I'm you're the musical chairs game, you're just running out of, you know, QB needy teams. Panthers, the Seahawks, they're still there, and they know that Cleveland's got their back against the wall. I mean, for me, I still think Baker Mayfield has that potential. There's still that chance that in a new situation, a very talented former number one overall quarterback who's got two good seasons under his belt, that you can figure him out. So if I'm the Panthers or the Seahawks or even the Steelers, you know, I'm interested. The Giants, I'm interested in at least, you know, taking a shot there. But I think the value is going to be, you know, mid to late round pick, or just wait till he gets released and figure that out. As far as Garoppolo, you know, once again, it's similar. You know, which team might want him? The Panthers want to get better at quarterback. Is that going to be enough for them? They've got a regime there that's headed into year three, you know, trying to not save their jobs, but at least show some sort of improvement there in year three. And then with the Seahawks, are they just in full rebuild mode? They just got rid of Russ and, you know, have some draft picks back, and they're not completely starting from scratch, but, you know, do they really want a Jimmy Garoppolo or even a Baker Mayfield there? Or are they going to try to look for that next quarterback in the draft? So I think the market's just kind of dried up a little bit, in part because finding a starting caliber quarterback in today's NFL isn't that difficult. You know, there's a lot of guys who can start. Marcus Mariota just got a job in Atlanta. He's a starting caliber quarterback. So I think the market has dried up a little bit for Baker and Garoppolo.
Steve, 12 teams won at least double-digit games last year. And, you know, this league obviously is built on parity. Everything's changed. We haven't had the draft yet, and there's a million different things that could happen between now and then. But somebody regresses every year. Which of those double-digit win teams do you think finally falls off a cliff?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because you definitely have a whole new group of, you know, playoff teams every single year. That always seems to happen. And it does, right now in the offseason, it does feel like a top-heavy league. As far as dropping off, like the Titans were a number one seed last year. I think they'll drop off from that, given the AFC. I mean, are they even a top five or six team in the AFC at this point with how loaded that conference is? So I think the Titans will get a little bit worse. The Raiders had 10 wins. It's going to be really tough to replicate that with the AFC West in that division. Despite adding Devontae Adams, they're just going to beat up on each other. And the Patriots had 10 wins. And, you know, similar. The Patriots haven't made any moves to get much better this year. Do they have a good nucleus, a good foundation? Yeah, it's pretty good. But again, while the rest of the AFC is just loading up and getting better, Patriots aren't necessarily doing that. So, you know, going 10-7 last year might be tough to replicate that.
Steve, we love the information. Keep up the good work over at PFF, and thanks for hopping on with us.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Be well. Steve Palazzolo on Grant and Danny at PFF_Steve. He's their senior analyst. His point on the AFC makes a lot of sense. So if you just go through the teams last year that were really good in that conference, let's play arrow trending up, arrow trending down.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills. I'd say arrow trending up.
I'd say up, right?
They're still in that 11-13 win mix.
I mean, people were disappointed in 11 wins last year.
Right.
Tells you how good they are.
They got worse. I think they went 13-3 to 11-6. New England Patriots, 10-7.
I think up.
I would agree on a binary. Like, it might be stagnant for the most part. But they lost one of their interior linemen. They brought in a tackle and paid him. Rearranging some chairs up front. Defensively, I think they've taken maybe a small step back, but they still have the draft coming. But I'm with you. I think the ascent is there. There's no reason to think they're going to make a giant step backwards in the second year of a quarterback who looked like he belonged last season. Miami.
Up.
Absolutely up.
Yeah.
That's a 9-8 team last year. Mike McDaniel gives you an offensive-minded head coach after last year when you scored 120 fewer points than the Patriots and 140 fewer points than the Buffalo Bills. And they've gone out and they've brought in the best left tackle available and an electrifying wide receiver among a plethora of other moves. They've completely reworked their backfield. They got two new running backs. All right, just stick with the teams over 500. Let's go to the North. Bengals.
Up.
Arrows up. I think they're going to have a hard time replicating last year.
So this is with an asterisk.
Which is not a hot take.
I think injury. I mean, yeah, it happens. Teams lose the Super Bowl, then you know the
getting
following
into the
years
Super
of regression.
Hard. This just
yeah.
It.
So I think they're you know.
But they were 10-7 in the regular season. They should be that or better this year.
I think they'll end up right there. I think people are anticipating now it's a 14-win team and not so fast. A, the division's not going to be what it was last year, right? Which we'll get to in a second. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to tread water again. I don't think Baltimore's going to have what happened to them last year. It's going to be a tougher road to hold for Cincinnati.
I'll bet you they win 11 or 12 games.
Cincy?
I think, they get a little bit better. They dramatically upgraded their personnel on their offensive line, almost completely reworked, which was the weakness of the team. Burrow got sacked over 50 times, the most sacks in the NFL before he got to play in the Super Bowl. He got sacked 70 times if you count the playoffs. But that O-line having been improved, I think, helps. I just don't think they'll get through the AFC playoffs. I think it's going to be an absolute
buzzsaw.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Steelers 9-7-1. I would say down. Only because
yeah, it's TBD.
Your quarterback
right now it's down.
It's terrible.
I do think Baker Mayfield ends up there, and I don't know if that's a dramatic upgrade. I don't know how much of an improvement
that
is.
He
if
end
all
up there,
I think Cleveland just has to bite the bullet and he gets released.
You think they end up cutting him?
Yeah.
That would be nuts to me. And that's what people are saying. I mean, I ask the question because I keep hearing it. I understand that that's certainly a possibility. And look, I'm the king of the Baker Mayfield's a Jag, and
yeah,
people overrated that guy for years club. But even still, he has had some really good film. He has some very solid numbers at times. He was a number one overall pick on a rookie contract. I know that two of the last three seasons have been down, but one of them was average or a little bit better, you know, pretty solid. I have a hard time believing, as desperate as teams are for quarterback, you look at what guys get drafted where they don't belong, paid what they don't belong, acquired via trade for picks they don't deserve. You know, Carson Wentz just got all that he got for a team to go get him. Baker Mayfield just gets cut because nobody wants him. I mean, that just means they misplayed it. That just means they screwed this up because it's a game of musical chairs and nobody's left standing still.
Yep.
But if you would have had Baker Mayfield on the market 6 weeks ago, you would have gotten something.
Precisely. And I think they had, you know, they didn't know they were going to get Deshaun Watson. So they didn't want to swing to a new branch without, you know, having something for him to hold on to.
The Browns, by the way, I say arrow down, believe it or not. And I'm just talking
for
about
this season.
I really think it's like a 10-game, 8-game suspension.
I do too.
I'll be surprised, in fact, if it's not at least 8.
So down for this year. Big picture, long term, up.
Yes.
Watson will play. But right now, you're right.
Totally. Long term, they're in good shape with Deshaun Watson. But this year, it's Jacoby Brissett for 10 games. Maybe you go 5-5. Now you're
at
trying
best.
To, you know, get Deshaun Watson back and put hay in the barn. It depends on your schedule the rest of the way. But I have a hard time seeing them win, you know, 11, 12, 13 games. How about the Ravens will bounce back, but they're sub 500. How about the Titans, 12-5?
Down for me. And it's, you know, there's nothing they did terribly wrong. It's a good, solid program. Mike Vrabel, who I think is one of the best coaches in the league.
They'll be in the playoffs.
They'll be back in the postseason. I think they're the best team in that division, but they're not a 12-win one seed in the AFC.
I could see the Colts having an identical record or being a game better than them. Last year, they were 12-5, and Indy was 9-8. Ryan's going to be a better fit for the Colts, I think, than Wentz was. I could see an 11-6 Colts team being even with the Titans or maybe a game better.
They both feel like 10-7 teams to me coming up. So, yeah, I could see it either way.
And then we've talked a lot about the AFC West, which is just...
Everyone's up.
It's a show.
Short answer.
Right. I mean, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Broncos, it's become an arms race, man. Everybody's trending.
So, I guess the Chiefs, if you have to say, it's down, right? Because they just got worse for the moment. Now, maybe those draft picks turn into somebody that gets them right back there, but they just got rid of Hill.
I mean, look, yes, you lost an unbelievable talent and an electrifying piece to that offense, but it's not like they haven't done anything. They brought in Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Three years,
$30 million at wide receiver. So you've got two quality NFL wideouts that came in. I'm not saying they replaced Tyreek Hill, but because of the picks and the cap space that they have now, that's a a team that I think could be more talented across the board could be a better roster. Not having Hill is going to, at some point, be a problem, and you're going to need that was easy button that you don't have anymore. You're going to need a 74-yard touchdown in 22 seconds to give you a chance to get back into a game, and you're not going to be able to go on the two-play 74-yard drive maybe. But I think over the course of a season, I don't think the Chiefs are going to step backwards. I think Andy Reid's too good. The offense is too good. And I trust in Patrick
Mahomes. I'm not betting against him. I just think for the exercise, right? You would go, right now on paper, they're not as good as they were 72 hours ago.
Yeah.
So, and the rest of that division, the arrows, it's a skyrocket. Everyone's got a bottle rocket going straight up in the air.
Mahomes, by the way, I saw this last night. Mahomes' numbers in games when Tyreek Hill hasn't played are really impressive, actually. And I'd have to watch them before I kind of decided what I think happened there. It's a handful of games. Sample size isn't huge. But I'd be willing to bet there is a plan for the Chiefs with Tyreek Hill now, which is to say that everyone goes to high safety. You play basically a cover two. You make them operate underneath. Patrick Mahomes sometimes chucks the ball deeper anyway and turns the ball over or takes risks that he shouldn't. Whereas when you don't have Tyreek Hill, there's not a formula yet. There's not really a script, which could benefit them early in the season, for sure. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You brought something up about Carson Wentz earlier today that I wanted to hit on. We can do that next right here on GND. I think people will be interested by it. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's a couple things. I was thinking about this randomly during the break. I was in the kitchen. That my mom would always not let us do growing up because she thought they were disgusting. And I want to know, Danny, if you agree that you shouldn't do these things and think that they're disgusting.
Okay.
All right. My mom would never let us throw gum away in the trash without wrapping it first. Thought it was so gross when you would see like gum stuck to a trash bag or something in like a trash can. So you've chewed gum.
Sure. Gum's fulfilled its purpose.
You're done with the gum.
Yep.
No more flavor. I'm going to take the gum out of my mouth. I'm going to throw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be wrapped in a tissue first. Has to be wrapped in a napkin. You cannot throw the gum away in the trash without wrapping it. To this day, I don't throw gum into a trash can. I will find a piece of paper, tear it off, wrap it, and throw it away.
Oliver Craig Darcy. OCD. No need for that at all.
So that one's not normal. For like most people are just throwing gum away.
I would say some people do that. Some people do that.
Yeah.
But it's I would say it's more normal just to get rid of the gum. Again, it's in the trash. If you're just spitting gum out and placing it down, like you put your gum in a wrapper if you've got nowhere to put it for a minute.
Right.
Right? Like it's like, hey, I can't leave the studio, but I'm done chewing this gum. I'll put it down in this wrapper knowing I'm going to throw it out ASAP. You don't just stick it someplace. But yeah, if you're putting it in the trash, it just goes in the trash.
Okay. How about this one? spitting into the sink, like washing it away, but like the water's running or whatever. You kind of spit, you wash it away in the like a kitchen sink.
Kitchen sinks, that's a no go. Okay. So she's correct about that. Yeah. Bathroom sink, it's what it's for.
Right.
So you got, you know, you spit your Listerine, you spit your toothpaste
kitchen
residue.
Kitchen sink, even though you're wiping it, you're washing it.
Yeah,
all
kitchen
that
sink,
stuff.
It's not for that. You're mixing purposes there. Kitchen sinks,
I think
dishes.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
It was a huge ordeal though. If for some reason
I got caught doing
I
it
got
once.
Two brothers, me, you know, anybody's in the kitchen, you're doing anything other than just washing your hands in that sink.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
I thought I was clear. I spit out a liquid that I did. I don't know why I did it. It was some stupid reason. As like a 10, 11-year-old, I thought I was in the clear. I spit into that sink in the kitchen. You would have thought I just robbed the crown jewels. Like,
yeah.
Like you would have thought I was selling people's organs on the black market. The talking to that I got, Howard Stern.
Along those lines, spitting in general, my mom, I think, thinks people should be sent to jail for doing it.
Mm.
She thinks it's the grossest thing you could ever do. Like, if to this day, she's coming up for my daughter's birthday tomorrow. If we're outside drawing chalk or something, and I, you know, something flies into my mouth or whatever, and I just spit in my yard or whatever, I'm getting a talking to. Like, she hates it. She thinks it's disgusting. Now, how she could ever watch a baseball game?
I was going to say, did you ever see old Grant Paulson at the Little League Park? You got a little big league chew? A little extra saliva?
She saw it plenty of times. I just wasn't allowed to ever spit anything.
Wow.
Did your parents have anything weird like that where you couldn't do it or they found it gross?
I mean, the spitting into the sink was a no-go. The idea if you had any mud on you, you can't track it inside to such a degree, right? Like, I said, what am I supposed to, where do you want, where would you like me to disrobe?
Yeah.
How much has to come off? Like, I'm not going to start rubbing my pants. I'm not a toddler. I'm not going to start rubbing my pants on the couch or whatever that's got mud on them. But they were so militant and vigilant about you can't track mud in.
What
so
about
the number
sweaty
of times I'd be in my tidy whities in the backyard? Now am I good to come in?
That's a show.
Ridiculous.
Absolute show.
Ridiculous.
What about you're sweaty? You were working out or something, and you come in, you like can't sit on the couch.
Yeah, there's that one.
What about now? You get back like yesterday.
There's that one.
You came in here yesterday. You were dripping with sweat.
Pouring sweat.
I would say borderline disgusting for like work environment for you, not for us, but for you.
Yeah,
you're like wet, you're dripping off your nose
because
you bike to work
full sweat.
Would you be allowed to sit on the couch at your house right now?
If I'm
would your wife get Rick
correct if I was in full Montez mode like that? It's go upstairs, shower right now, go. Don't talk to me, don't do anything else. You're every second you're here is bad.
Would you want to sit on the couch if you're Montezing like that?
Yeah, it's all I want to do, sit in and relax.
So you wouldn't say I got to get to the shower first? For you, that's perfectly fine. I'm going to sit down and
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable that I should shower after schwitzing. The thing that people don't understand about me is, like, you, my friend Grant, you haven't sweat since, you know, like you had like a fever one time when you were 5. That's the last time any perspiration came out of one of your pores. I sweat when I'm cold, when I'm hot, when I'm in between, when I'm thinking, when I'm not, when I'm sleeping, when I'm awake.
You sweat so
all
much.
The time. I am the sweatiest sweater that ever sweated. I am so gross,
yeah.
Right? I'm the guy you don't want to play. Listen, many reasons. You don't want to play me in shirts and skins in basketball. I'm the slimy dude that ruins it. Like, if you're in the post with me, oh, my God, I touched this hairy disgustingness.
I actually still remember. It's so funny you say that. Mm-hmm. Playing a pickup basketball game on base in Dahlgren in King George, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
on the Navy base, NWSC or whatever it's called. And we were playing pickup basketball, and I had to defend this dude. And he was so sweaty and so gross. And I remember
and his
still
name
to this
was
day,
Danny. No.
I'll tell you what his name was. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
You can add him.
He might be listening right now. He's probably listening.
It's out of his control. What can he do about it?
Well, he could not play
be
against me being that sweaty. So gross. But I'll just never forget that feeling of like, okay,
slimy.
I have two choices here. I'll just give him points or I have to touch this guy for the next 7 minutes. They worked us 11-1. And they just kept pouring the ball down into the post.
We got a mismatch here.
And I just stayed a foot away from
put
him.
Put it in the blender.
And I said, it's your basket if you want it, bro. But I am not touching you. You're
That's
gross.
Me. I am Slimer from Ghostbusters. I'm so gross. So I understand that I need to shower. But the thing that people don't understand about that is, oh, the shower makes it stop. Uh-uh. If I pass the sweat threshold, the sweating doesn't stop till the sweating's done. The sweating decides when it's done sweating. Not me.
I just can't
no matter
relate.
Water on it. Yeah, I know.
I could be in a sauna You could crank it. You could pour all the water onto all those rocks.
Get the going.
Just take a bucket of water onto those rocks, and I'll sit in there. I won't sweat. I just can't. It's not possible. I've never figured out how. I've never learned how to do it.
Well, it's not. You're not missing anything. It's miserable. You sweat through everything. It's so gross.
I think it'd be beneficial. Like, I'm not fat because I don't sweat. I'm fat because I eat poorly and I don't exercise. But I think that if I sweat, it would help me. Right? Sweating is important.
Maybe. Honestly, I sweat a ton. I do exercise.
Yeah, but
I do eat pretty well.
Okay.
I'm not. I constantly put on a pound or two here, and I'm right back where I started a couple years ago. The point is, nothing helps, nothing matters. Now, but the difference between you and me is you can't touch me if it's over 70 outside.
Well, I'm not going
to
touch
you. Not that you need to touch me for anything.
Can I move your Carson Wentz thing to later? Because I wanted to bring one more thing up.
Yeah, it's fine.
What if
I was like, no, we have to do it right now?
Well, tell people what your Carson Wentz thing is, and we can actually talk about this at 5 o'clock.
Here's the succinct version, elevator pitch style. Is he benchable?
Is he benchable?
Is Carson Wentz benchable?
I thought that was fascinating. Danny asked me that today, and I thought, what do you mean? He's like, well, if he's really bad, do you just ride it out with him because he's your guy, or do you potentially bench him?
And my counter was, they didn't bench Taylor Heinicke.
Right, and you have Heinicke waiting in the wings.
When they were scoring 10 points a game for a month when they needed just a W to hang on, they didn't bench that guy.
So we're going to do that. We're going to do it at 5 o'clock. We'll take calls on
that. We may never do it.
I heard the junkies talking about this today. Your boy was up so early. I couldn't believe how early I was.
Oh, yeah. You had the early wake up for the golf, for the gas.
Well, how do people do it?
I don't know.
How do the junkies do it?
I don't know.
I set my alarm today for 5:40.
And you'd have been 2 hours late to work.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The junkies are already in studio at
so,
that time.
Just a quick interjection. I know you got your story. Jason, because he can't stay up at night to watch, well, to do anything. He can't stay up past whatever, like 6:45, 7 o'clock.
You, Joan? I get it. I mean, again,
me neither. No.
I'm dead today because I woke up at 5:45.
His plan, I heard him say this out loud, and I was like, I just can't imagine this. His plan, go to bed at his normal time, wake up a little early, 3:10 a.m. Okay?
That's ridiculous.
Go to bed at his normal time before it's dark out, wake up at 3:10 a.m., he's DVR'd all the college basketball games, and he's going to fast forward through all the commercials and watch the Sweet 16.
That's
before coming to work.
That's outrageous.
That was his plan. And everyone's like, that's Jason's plan. I'm going, what plan? Like, could you imagine?
That's insane.
That's your gig. I can't imagine that.
That's terrible. Just stay up. At that point, just stay up.
But anyway, go ahead. Your thing.
I heard Cakes mention this, and this is my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cakes, I'm happy for you that you mentioned this, and you guys did a good job talking about it, but this is my thing. This is my pet peeve.
Oh.
J.D. McKissick, who's my guy, okay? He said, I want to read this quote to you. You tell me what about this quote is my pet peeve. Why did this register for me, knowing me as well as you do?
All right, I'm listening.
This is a tweet from John Keim of ESPN. On the sequence of events that led J.D. McKissick to return to Washington from Buffalo. McKissick said, quote, I was a Buffalo. I was ready to be a Buffalo, he said. I was moving on to a new organization. I was excited. I felt wanted. Then, so crazy I don't remember, my agents called me to let me know what happened, end quote. What do I find interesting about that?
That he's a Buffalo.
He's a Buffalo. I've told you this before. People who say the team city as like a blank and not the mascot, it's one of the things that ricks me the most in the world. And it's mostly people who've never watched sports who do it.
Like they say so the team with the lower score first.
So he's a Washington? And I'm like, yeah, he's a Commander. Uh-huh. It's part of my annoyance with Washington football team, to be honest.
One of the bigger things I didn't like.
But. J.D. McKissick speaks NFL, speaks football, you know what I mean? He's been in the league for a long time. He said, I was a Buffalo. I was ready to be a Buffalo. I just can't stop thinking about this. One of a couple things is afoot here. Number one, he just kind of misspoke and he was just saying I was a Bill. I was ready to be a Bill. Number two, maybe he thinks because their emblem is a Buffalo. Maybe he thinks they're the Buffaloes. I mean, is it possible he doesn't know their mascot? Like, this is the only situation I think where it would be possible where the city is also a thing that can be an emblem. And their logo, their emblem, is quite literally a buffalo. And he was saying, I was a Buffalo, a la I was a Jaguar. But he's also saying he was that city. You get what I'm saying?
I get exactly
now,
what
he
you're
has,
saying.
Now, he, like, if you quizzed him, if you're like, hey, JD, you see him at the mall, and he's like, what's up, dude? What's the NFL team in Buffalo?
He knows.
I think he would say the Bills. Or would he say the Buffaloes? Does he think they're the Buffalo Buffaloes?
Like, but is a Bill, I was trying to look that up. Is a Bill another name for a Buffalo?
I'd imagine so.
I've never known that. I mean, somebody, like, we should get our official Buffalo Bills correspondent, Luke Russert, on to give us the history of the team name or anything. But that, I thought he was doing shtick. I thought that was shticky.
No.
You think that was a very, that a shoot?
Why would he be doing shtick? What shtick is he doing? But that is, you know, that's my thing.
I do know.
People are like, he's a Washington. Oh man.
Oh no, he's not.
It's just so funny.
He's not a state or city.
To me, it sounds like someone is speaking a language that they can't really speak. Like if you asked me to speak Spanish, I would put weird things in weird places and botch it.
Yeah, terribly. We don't know syntax. Or
if
okay,
you're not able to speak sports because you don't play or watch or know sports, nothing wrong with that. Welcome to the club. Let's watch the game together. But that's who normally does he's a Portland, not a Trailblazer.
I remember this. This was just out of college. We had a guy, a buddy of mine, started dating this girl, and she like tried to fit in, and she was like who's winning? And like she's like, oh, I was watching this other game the other day, and the team that I wanted to win was losing 10-2, and then before she even finished, we all went, nope, like it's not going to happen. You're not going to make it. We're not asking you any questions. We're not going to learn about you. You're not going to be around for very long. She was like, Miami was losing 10-24. And we're like, "That nope, you didn't.
He's a Buffalo.
He's a Buffalo.
Wow. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play Friday means winning off the field. Let's line them up. Get to the front of the line, 800-636-1067 right now. MGM National Harbor listener lines wide open. 800-636-1067. You'll tell us how you're in the win column on this Friday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The winning off the field sounder has made it through two name changes now.
Wow.
From the Redskins are winning off the field to Washington football is winning off the field to we're the Commanders.
We're the Commanders.
Are winning off the field. The Commanders.
Ha ha!
Or are we going to
Commanders.
Commanders. How are you winning off the field? You call us, you tell us, 800-636-1067. What teeny tiny mini little thing has happened to your day that made you happy? This is Moral Victory Monday stuff on a Friday. This is something no one else would or should care about. I'll give you an example, Dave.
Please do, Grant.
I went and played some golf today. I've been telling you about that with my dad, my buddy, his father. I went into the bathroom to get myself relieved before I went out on the golf course. It was a very small bathroom. I thought there were going to be other people in the bathroom that I was going to have to wait for, line perhaps. Everyone was getting ready to go out. A little shotgun start. I had the whole bathroom to myself. No one else was in there. Just got to stand there at the urinal, look straight ahead, not have to think about anyone else being in the bathroom. If I wanted to scream, I could have.
You could have.
Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Super quick example. This past Saturday, a little guy turned 4, and we're going, we don't really want to do a birthday party. Like, where are we going to do it? Like, we just, nobody feels like anything. Turns out another little guy in his class, also turning 4, other parents of the other little guy, all in on doing a birthday party. We're basically glomming on getting a birthday party out of nothing.
I'm so mad at you.
We're here. We're on it together. We're doing like a small amount. No, we're like bringing some cupcakes.
You. Someone remind me to talk about this later.
Therefore, we are.
Winning off the field.
God, I'm so mad.
It's the glom on.
I want to call your wife and ask if this is true. This is the... Oh, I'm so mad about this. So someone is having a birthday party for their kid. And you're just going to now also have that birthday party for your kid?
It's a joint birthday party.
Was it planned that way?
Yes. Or,
yes?
Yes.
So you're misportraying it a little bit.
No. I'm saying, we're like not really that excited about doing anything. And we're sort of like, hey, do you guys want to? And they're like, totally. So then we did it from there.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah.
I thought they had a birthday party planned. You guys found out about it. And then you're like, what if it was for our kid too?
Exactly how it happens. Not really important.
I mean, God.
It's maybe in between what I said and what you said.
I think that's not what happened. If it was up to you, I could see that happening. Locke, your wife is doing a great job planning a good birthday with these people, and then she's going to tell you where to be at a certain time, and you'll be there. That's how it's going to go.
That's how it's going to go now.
I'm Rick. Let's go to Andrew in Damascus. Andrew, how are you winning off the field?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. So, my wife and I, we work at the same school, but we work alternating days. And because we have had enough snow, they had to add an extra day on. But they added one of her days on, so I get to stay home and she has to work. So therefore, I am
winning off the field.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Hey, I got to move on, but I want to know really quickly, why is it a thing that you work every other day? How? What, like, are you teachers? Is that a new thing? Where, like, we got kids back in school half the time? What's going on here?
No, so, well, we're teachers, but we work at a school that has, sort of think of it as like 8A B days.
Okay.
And we both drop down to part-time so that we can work alternate days. So one of us is home. We have a 1 and a 3-year-old.
So
one
smart.
Of us has kids and one of us works.
So smart. And guess who else has a 1 and a 3-year-old, Andrew? Your guy.
Grant does.
Right here. So we're going through a lot of the same things. If Soft Bunny's not in that bed when your kid goes to bed, I'll bet it's an ordeal. But it's a pretty big problem.
You won't start alternating with Allison.
You're right. I will not. Rich and only. Rich, you're on Grant and Danny.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Richard.
So my buddy asked me the other day, do I want to go up to Deep Creek with him for the NFL draft, a little boy's 3-day getaway? My wife was none too pleased to hear about this. But then I reminded her she got away with the girls to her little trip to Portland, Maine for a couple nights. So she couldn't say a word to me. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
There it is.
Nice to have a scoreboard to point to. By the way, another weekend with the boys for Rich. If you're keeping score at home, weekends with his wife since they've been married, 2. Weekends with the boys, 97.
Who lives a better life than Rich and Olney?
Rich has a pretty good thing going. He's got a pretty good thing going. Kevin in Arlington, how are you?
Hey, boys. Happy Friday.
What do you say, Kevin?
So, I have a construction site near my home, and we ran over a tack and had to get the tire checked out. Turns out we had to get it replaced.
Oh, no.
But it was under warranty, and so we saved $100. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Let's wind things down with our guy, Tailgate Ted. Show him how it's done, Ted.
What's going on, gents?
Buddy.
How are you, bud?
So, usually now the tailgate season's over, we get to do what Mrs. Tailgate wants to do. And she mentioned going to see Bad Bunny. And
oh God.
My music knowledge consists of what you guys play in and out of breaks.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Right.
So I have no idea who this guy is. Luckily, her girlfriend flew up from Florida. I'm getting out of the concert. Those two are going. I get to go see The Batman at 4:45 and watch NCAA games all night long instead by myself.
That's the
winning off the field.
Is this tomorrow?
No, it's tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, tell me what you think of the Batman, Ted. All I want to do is talk to people about the Batman. I've begged my three friends, Darius, Ryan, and Danny, to see the movie. All of them just keep telling me to kick rocks. They keep telling me to shove it, and they hate my guts, and I'm a fat tub of goo.
That's what we say.
Every single time.
Yeah, so they do. Shut up, Danny.
When you get a chance, let me know what you think of the Batman. That's what I'm steamed up
for. I just looked it up. I thought Bad Bunny was the chick from the Dr. Phil.
No. That's
but it's not.
Catch Me Outside Girl or something. No,
yeah, what does that mean? Like,
Bad Bunny's a rapper.
But that's a dude rapper.
Slash, he's trying to be a wrestler, so he was at the Royal Rumble. It's not for me.
What's the... I mean, I couldn't name a single thing.
You know, it's more for you, I would say.
Is it? Mm-hmm. But she's got a name.
Catch Me Outside. That person.
I don't know. You know, every time that we give her any time on air,
it bothers you.
It infuriates me.
I'm just saying, I thought that's who it was. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
We talk more about that person, who's an awful person. And has no business getting any attention on any programs that take themselves seriously. But Bad Bunny is a musician.
That's a dude.
And a wrestler. Kind of, I think.
Okay.
More importantly, the Batman. Go see it. And then tell me about it.
I should tell you about it.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz comes your way next. And we will talk about whether Carson Wentz, if it's going poorly, is benchable. Or if you could ride it out with him and see where it takes you. This is the Fan.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.